I appreciate his presence. Appreciate him coming by to touch us and help us.
Oh, thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Give us some strength, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Grab your Bibles if you would. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Book of Daniel, chapter 1 tonight. You're all probably familiar with. Yeah. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some passion. I want to get passionate tonight. Man, talked about it in our chapel service today. Man, trying to, fire some people up this morning. Man, but passion. Went to, as in northern Indiana, up around the Goshen area, visiting there, and I was, I believe we were staying at Brother Carper's house. Across the street, his neighbor had a big flag out in his yard. You know, I'm talking about a flag. Flag pole with a flag. And it had, was black with a gold P on it for the Purdue Boilermakers. Very average pedestrian team, by the way. All right, he had it sitting in his driveway, a van, a big van, and it was black and gold, and on it said Purdue Boilermakers. He had a huge flag up on the back of it to kind of, you know, blow in the wind while he was driving down the road. Another one of those big black flags with the gold P on it for the Purdue Boilermakers. And you know what? When I looked over in that yard, I didn't say, well, there's a Buckeye fan. No. I knew he was a Purdue Boilermaker fan. Right? Yeah. You know it. Sometimes some people are passionate about some things. A lot of times people are passionate about all the wrong things in their life. You know? Passionate about all the wrong things in our life. Things that don't really matter. Things that are not important. We will go the extra mile for things that we are passionate for. We will go to the ends of the earth for something that we are passionate about. We will shout it from the highest mountaintop if we are passionate about it. We will tell it to anybody who will listen if we are passionate about it. Right? And we're not afraid to tell somebody about Jesus if we're passionate about Jesus. We're not afraid to talk about our faith if we're passionate about our faith. We're not afraid to use the word Pentecost if we are passionate about Pentecost and being Pentecost, right? Amen. Sometimes we're just not passionate about what we are, what we believe. And so when you're not passionate about it, I call into question whether it really is important to you as what you think it is.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, but David, that's not fair. It's not? It's not fair? Oh, it's not fair, Brother David. No, but when somebody talks bad about something that you're passionate about, you get all fired up. Yeah, you get all fired. Why? But boy, when we start talking about God, man, we want to slip back in a corner somewhere. Hide behind a rock and not let anybody know we're there. We don't want to be, because we're not passionate about it. If you're not passionate about the Lord Jesus, maybe I want to call into question how serious you really are about it. Right? Yeah. I think we can use the example of sports fans about passion, because they make a perfect example. They're crazy about it, okay? They'll go to a Blues game and pay $60 a ticket just to get in the door. And then they get out there and, the little puck is so small you can't even see it when it's out there on the ice. And they're moving it around so fast and all that kind of stuff. You can't even see it. You don't even know what's going on. And yet you get there, scream, holler, and spend $150 before you're done. Tell me you're not passionate. And you come to church and want to drop $5 in the offering. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Woo! That's right. Hey, man, what is it that you get passionate about? If you want to say, I think you're more passionate about the Blues than you are about serving God and about things of the Lord. Now, Brother David, stay off the Blues. They're doing good this year. All right, let's get on the Cardinals for a little bit. Hey, man, you go out, they'll go to a Cardinal game and knock off $200. Hey, man, for an evening with the Cardinals, but come home with the red shirt on and with your hair dyed red and everything else. Hey, man, and you're screaming and hooping and hollering, going to work the next day with your voice hoarse, wearing your Cardinal jersey. But you've never told anybody what you work with about Jesus. Never have you proclaimed them yourself a Christian. Never do witness to them or ask them about their soul. Man, what are you passionate about? What is it that you're passionate about? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You argue all day with your mechanic about Ford or Chevy, Ford or Chevy, Ford or Chevy, Ford or Chevy, Chevy Ford, Chevy Ford, Chevy Ford, back and forth, Patrick, you're wrong. But I mean, you go back and forth. Amen. But you never ask him if he's saved, if he belongs and knows the Lord, or if he's a Christian. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Amen. These kids today in our school, I was dumb, they are passionate. They are passionate. They're passionate about recess, lunch, and dismissal. They are passionate about those things, those three things. They can get out in recess. Let me tell you what. They don't matter from the youngest to those. They can make more noise. They can get more excited. They'll hoop, they'll holler, they'll wave their hands. They'll do all kinds of funny things like that. They do. They're crazy. They're crazy. And then you say, all right, let's go to math. Yeah. We wonder why they're getting an A in lunch and failing math. They're not passionate about it. Not passionate about it. Amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, by the way, at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Amen. Purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself. That is passion. That is a passion. Okay, tonight I'm going to want to talk to you about a passion for purity. A passion for purity. We can get passionate. I just felt like this year, amen, that I want Bethel Chapel to become a passionate church. Amen, do we really believe what we are and what we're all about? Do we really believe all that we're doing? And if we really believe it, amen, then we ought to get passionate about it. We ought to get passionate about it, amen. It ought to be burning inside of us. It, when we talk about it, it ought to wind our clock. There's that, I like that phrase. It ought to wind your clock. If you, when somebody talks about it, you ought to get excited. If you're passionate about something, if you're passionate about souls, amen, when the missionary comes and he tells you what's going on in a foreign country, it ought to get you excited about what's happening. It ought to fire you up because you're passionate about souls. Amen, when you see kids come in off the bus, amen, and you see somebody kneeling at an altar, amen, you ought to get fired up about it because you got a passion for souls. Amen, if you're passionate, if not, don't worry about it. I mean, just lazy back there, amen, and just watch. But if you're passionate, it ought to fire you up. It ought to get you excited. Amen, but listen. And if you believe in purity, if you believe in living a pure, godly, holy life, a sanctified life, you ought to be passionate about it. You ought to be passionate about it. Amen. It is important. It is important. Amen. That we get passionate. Passionate. I've got a lot of verses to read to you tonight. I'm sorry. Exodus 21, verse 2, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Amen. That's a man that says, you know what? I love my master. I love my master. I don't want to leave. I love what he's done for me. I love how he's cared for me. I love what he's given to me. I love all that he's done in my life. I love it all. I don't want to leave him. Amen. When you think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for you and all of his blessings on you. Amen. Do you think, could you ever leave God? Could you ever leave God? There, you know what? He's done so much you ought to get passionate about it. So I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I want you to notice what they did here. You say, man, I didn't know that it was all right to pierce your ears. Bible tells us, Brother David, we can pierce our ears. Woo. Let me tell you what, what took place here is very symbolic, but yet it's also very crude and kind of ugly. This isn't some precision little piercing of the ear. Amen. This is something that was done very crudely with a hammer and an awl and your ear on a doorpost. Let me tell you what. You know what? Nobody had an alcohol swab. They brought you to the doorpost, pulled it out. For me, it wouldn't have been that big a problem. They could have done it. They could have done it from across the room. They could pull it out, put it on there, and man, they put that all on it, and with a couple of big whacks with a hammer, and it was driven through. But it is very symbolic of the cross. Very symbolic of the cross. You have an awl as if it was a nail. You have the piercing of flesh. You have the shedding of blood. You have the doorpost as a cross. Amen. It's very symbolic. Amen. Of the cross and what Jesus did and the price that he paid for us. But when I think about that, when I put it in that context, can I see that this man says, look, I don't want to be my own. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for you. You know what? Is it symbolic of us crucifying ourselves before God, crucifying our flesh and saying, Lord, I want to belong to you. I don't live for myself anymore. Myself's been crucified on a cross. Amen. I live for you and you alone, Lord. I belong to you. I belong to you. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Present yourself. Amen. Come before God and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, you better mean it when you say, I don't want to go out free. I want to live for the master.
Yeah.
Better mean it, because next thing you know, man, your ear's on the door and the hammer's reared back. You better be ready. Let me tell you why. It's easy for you to stand here today and say, I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I want to live for God. It's easy to say it, right? Amen. But when you have to crucify the flesh, when you have to give up the things of the flesh and to give up the old life and to give up the things that please us and the things that bring us pleasure, amen, you have to give that all up and you have to give up the world. Amen. You have to sell it all out. You better be careful what you say. You better be careful about the commitments you make. You better be careful about how you stand up and make a testimony of your faith that you're going to serve God. Amen. Because you're going to have to crucify yourself. Crucify the flesh. Man, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Talking about a passion for purity. A passion for purity. Hallelujah. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Amen. Do you want to see Jesus? Are you passionate about seeing Jesus? Amen. Is that what we live for? Oh, well, I can't wait for the Lord to come back. I'm ready to go see Jesus. I want to live for the Lord. Amen. I want to live for God. I want to serve God. I want to go to heaven. I want eternity with God. Is that right? Amen. If you have that hope, if you are passionate about the return of Jesus Christ, you ought to be passionate about living a pure life and purifying your life. Amen. You say, Brother Dave, what does it mean to be pure? Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall be therefore be holy, for I am holy. Amen. It's very easy. The principle of purity is based on this. Amen. That God is holy. He is a holy God. Amen. And God wants us to be holy as he is holy. He wants us to live a pure, godly life. A life that is free from sin. A life that is not defiled by the things of the world. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Amen. If you love the world, you don't love the Father. Amen. Do you really love God? Amen. If you really have a love for the things of God, you ought to be passionate about keeping yourself pure. Amen. Keeping yourself pure. 1 Peter 1, 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy. I am holy. Amen. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be pure. Amen. We are serving a pure, holy God. Amen. I want to live my life pure and holy before him. Hallelujah. A pure God. A pure God. A holy God. Man, the Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 20, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Is he your Lord? Is he your God? Amen. Did he save you? Did he deliver you? Did he bring you out of bondage? Amen. Did he do all that? Be ye holy. I am holy. I'm the God that saved you. I'm the God that delivered you. Amen. You need to be holy and pure before the Lord. Amen. Live that holy life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason, the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Amen. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Told you I had a lot of verses to read to you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can't do it without being passionate. You can't do it without being passionate. That's right. Amen. I used this example this morning. I think it's a good one. Amen. There's some people that say, I want to play a piano. Sister Ruth, teach me how to play a piano. All right? So, they take a lesson. Okay? They take another lesson. They take another lesson. They can't figure out. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing on the piano. Did you ever practice? What? Well, I thought she was supposed to teach me how to play piano. I thought she was supposed to teach me how to play piano. She's taught others how to play the piano. She's supposed to teach me. Did you practice? Well, you know, all the piano players that I know that become quality piano players, somebody that has a passion for it. You got to love the piano. Hey, man, I look at that thing, there's way too many keys on it. I can't forget it. That blows my mind. There's too many white, too many black. I can't figure them all out. I mean, it's just, and how they all, you know, they all push down. I could find a whole better way to design that. I really could. Put it down to about 5 buttons, and you'd probably have it. But you know what? You can't do that unless you have a passion for it. Yeah, you want to say, well, I want to play the piano like Brother So-and-so or Sister So-and-so. Listen, if you want to play the piano like Brother So-and-so and Sister So-and-so, you need to practice as much as Brother So-and-so. You need to love it as much as they love it. You need to be one of those people that every time they walk by one, they got to stop and start tickling the ivories. We got to be willing, amen, to have that passion for it, that you love it, that you absolutely love it. If it's just an every once in a while thing, you know, hey man, you're going to practice the piano once or twice a year, you're not going to learn how to play the piano. But if you love it, if you eat it up, if you love the way it sounds, if you have a passion for it, you'll learn and you'll be good. But listen, if you want to be a child of God, you need to get a passion for serving God. You need to love serving God. If you're just going to do it on Sunday, that's not enough. Hey man, you got to love it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You got to wake up on Friday and say, oh, I love the Lord. I love God. I want to serve God. I want to live for God. Saturday. Amen. You got to do it every day. You got to have a passion for it. You got to have a passion to serve God. Yeah. That's right. You got to have a passion for purity. Daniel did not have mom and dad telling him, hey boy, no red meat and wine. Don't you dare do that. If you do that, I'm grounding you. If you do that, you're in so much trouble. When your dad gets home, he didn't have anybody doing that. Daniel was by himself. Daniel was by himself. And you know what that, but I love that he says, he purposed in his heart. That's passion right there. He purposed in his heart. He got down in his heart. And he had a passion. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not doing it because my mom and my dad are here looking over my shoulder. I'm doing it because I love God and I want to serve God. Hallelujah. Joseph, he's doing it, going around the master's business around the house. Here comes Potiphar's wife in. She begins to flirt with him. Make advances to him, right? Amen. Joseph says, no, 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 no. Remember what he said? How can I do this to my master? How can I do this thing to my master? And he turned and he fled. Nobody was there. The house was empty. Amen. He was all by himself. But he knew, amen, that he could not do it. There was a passion in his heart to keep himself pure. Amen. When you have a passion to be pure, amen, you keep yourself pure when nobody else knows anything about it. When you have a passion in your heart to be pure, you say, I cannot do this to my master. Amen. I cannot do it to the one I love and to the one I serve. You got to be passionate about purity. passionate about purity. Joseph's daddy wasn't there. Daniel's daddy wasn't there. Amen. But they had something in their heart. They had a passion to live pure. A passion to live pure. That's right. Young people, you need to get to the place where you're passionate about purity. Not because of the pastor, not because of your parents. Amen. But because you have it in your heart. You have it in your heart. That you believe, right? Amen. That you're going to live right, act right, look right. Amen. You're going to conduct yourself in a righteous, holy way. Amen. You're going to keep yourself free from sin. You're not going to experiment with sin. You're not going to tempt yourself with sin. You're going to do everything you can to keep your mind, your heart, your body, and your life pure. And you got to have it in your heart. You got to be passionate about it. And you say, I will not defile myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel purposed in his heart. Amen. Purity doesn't just happen by accident. You don't just go through life and accidentally be pure. You know? You don't wake up, oops, I'm pure. Wow, I went all day and didn't sin. Amen. Don't happen by accident. Daniel purposed in his heart. Amen. He had a passion about it in his heart. Amen. That he was going to serve the Lord. Amen. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. Purpose. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Amen. Passionate. Be passionate about it. Amen. Let me tell you, why be passionate about purity? First of all, can I tell you, if you're passionate about purity, it pleases God. And that ought to be good enough. Amen?
Amen.
Because with purity, we please God. Yes. Is God pleased with a life that is full of sin?
No.
Is God pleased when you go out and you commit evil?
No.
Is God pleased when you have evil thoughts in your mind? Is God pleased when you conduct yourself, act in a way that is ungodly, unspiritual, that's one that's not pleasing to the Lord? Amen. Is God happy with that? No. But when you are pure, when you keep your life pure, I believe that pleases God. Amen. That pleases the Lord. Amen. And if there's anything I want to do in this life, I want my Lord to be pleased with me. I want him to be pleased with my life. I want him to be pleased with how I live. Amen. And that makes me passionate about purity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you want the Lord to say? What do you want the Lord to say? I'm asking you, what do you want the Lord to say? What? What do you want the Lord to say? Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I want him to be pleased with me. Amen. That's what I live for, is to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. When I hear those words, I'll say, yes, thank God, it's worth it. Amen. It was worth it all. Amen. To hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Why is he going to say that? He'll only say that if he's pleased with me. And how is he going to be pleased? By my living a pure life. A pure life. Amen. I want to live pure. I want to live pure, and I want to be passionate about my purity. Hallelujah. Well, Brother David, you know you have to sin a little bit. You do need to sin just a little bit. You're living in a sinful world. You need to sin a little bit. Nope. I'm sorry. I mean, that's not acceptable. Is that your excuse you're going to use before God when you stand before God? Oh, but Lord, you know, I have to sin a little bit, right? Is that what you're going to use before God? I don't think so. When we stand before a righteous God, a holy God, a pure God, he demands us to be righteous. Amen. Let me tell you, I want to please him. I want to please him. And the only way I can please him is keeping my life pure. Can I tell you another reason why you ought to be passionate about purity? Man, because I believe purity brings power. Purity brings power. Man, when you are pure before God, man, I believe you have power. You'll have the power of God in your life. I don't believe that God is going to give power to to unclean vessels. I don't think God's going to give his power and might, amen, pour his power out upon lives that are not pure. Right? I just don't see God doing that. Amen. I believe that God will pour his spirit out upon pure vessels. That's right. I want to be a vessel of honor, right? How many of you want to be a vessel of dishonor? You want to be a vessel of dishonor? I don't. Man, I want to be a vessel of honor. Amen. Because I want his blessings to be poured out upon me. Amen. I want to be one that's meet for the master's use. Amen. I want to be one that is pleasing to him. Amen. I want to have the power of God on my life. Amen. I want the power of the Lord to be upon my life. Look at what Daniel, that last verse I read to you. Amen. He was set apart from all the rest of them because of his passion for purity. To be pure. What do you mean, Brother David? Look at it. Look at it. And as for these four children, that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. As for these four children, men, these that had purposed in their heart they would not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat. These men that had set themselves apart for 10 days, amen, eating, not partaking of all of the luxuries and all the beautiful things of that new world they were living in, that world of Babylon that was so impure and so unholy and so different than serving God. Amen, they sacrificed. They said, no, we won't defile ourselves. Notice what it says. These four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. Amen, God poured something out on these men. Amen, God poured something out on these men. Even among their brethren, even among all the others that had been brought in, there wasn't just four captives brought in from Israel. There was hundreds, if not thousands of them. But for some reason, these four, even among their own brethren, God poured out his blessing on them. Why? Because they had a passion for purity, to live right and do right. Amen. They didn't make an excuse for it. They didn't back down. They weren't afraid. They weren't ashamed. Amen. And God poured out his blessing on them. And even on Daniel, gave him the ability to interpret visions and dreams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what happened? Because of his purity, he was promoted. Because of purity, he was promoted. Hallelujah. Amen. It promoted him right before the king. Promoted him up where he was right next to the king. Amen. Promoted him to such a point, amen, that the king would come to the lion's den and say, Daniel, are you all right? Amen. Let me tell you what. Amen. Daniel was promoted because he was pure. Oh, no. He was promoted because he was smart. No, it says right here. He was smart because he kept himself pure. And God gave him. And God gave him. Amen. Wisdom, knowledge, and skill. God did it. And that's what promoted him. Let me tell you. It pays to be pure. You'll have the power of God on your life if you live a pure life. You will. Amen. How many of you would like to have power of God. Hey, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Just to have an anointing of God resting upon your life. To have an anointing of the Holy Ghost resting upon you every day. You know how it happens? Keep yourself pure. Wouldn't it be awesome if every time, you start witnessing about the Lord, amen, that you felt the power of God and you felt an anointing on you. Keep yourself pure. Wouldn't it be awesome if every time you went down to pray? Amen. Yes, that's another one we'll get to. Passion for prayer. But you know what? When you every time you go down to pray, amen, that you'd have an anointing on your life to pray. Every time you sing, an anointing to sing. Every time you speak, an anointing to speak. Man, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Have you ever had the occasion in your life where the opportunity came for you to witness? And the opportunity was there, but you knew in your heart that you were not right? You ever been there? Awkward. Yeah, there you are. Awkward. But when you know you're pure, when you know you're pure beyond all things, amen. You know what? You have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to share and witness. And if you need to get a passion for purity. Say, Brother David, I know church, Bethel Chapel's different. I look around here and there's a bunch of different people I know, and that's beside the point. But no, we're different. We're different. We're different from a lot of people, a lot of churches. I understand that. But you know what? There's a desire in our heart to live for God, to please the Lord. Amen. To be set apart from the world. Amen. We're not a part of this world anymore. Amen. You know what? It's not like we're trying to keep a distance from the world. No, we're not a part of the world. The world's going farther and farther and farther. Amen. But we're trying to get closer and closer and closer to God. Amen. Brother David, why do you all dress like you dress? Because we want to be pure. We want to keep ourselves modest. Brother David, why don't you all go to dance halls and places like that? Because we want to keep ourselves pure. Brother David, why don't you go to the movies? Because we want to keep ourselves pure. Hallelujah. Amen. James Dobson's children came to him one day. And he said, Dad, there's a movie down here at the theater. It's rated R. We want to go see it. He said, absolutely not. You're not going. You're not going to do it. And they said, but Dad, here's the good points of this movie. And they started naming all the good points. And then they said, now, in fairness, Dad, here's the bad points about the movie. They shared the bad points about the movie. He said, I'll think about it. I'll let you know tomorrow. That night after the kids went to bed, he fixed brownies. When they got up in the morning, they came downstairs and said, I've thought about it. He said, I just want you to come sit down here and we're going to have some brownies. They all, oh, wow. They started, just a minute. Now these brownies, these are made with some of the finest ingredients that your mom had in the kitchen. These are some of the best ingredients you'll ever find. These walnuts on them are fresh. They're made of some of the finest ingredients. And he began to go to all the pros about these brownies. And then he stopped and said, but there's something wrong with these brownies. And this is what he said, and it sounds a little crude. He said, but these brownies also have dog mess in them. He said, now help yourself to the brownies. Guess how many brownies they ate. Now listen. You know what you can say, Brother David? Amen. There's the things of the world that I want. You know what? You can name all the pros, all the cons. But there's so much trash and filth. I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to defile myself with that. Amen. Do I want to bring any of that into this temple of the Holy Ghost? I say no. Amen. And when I think about that, it ought to turn our nose up. It ought to make us sick. It ought to make us back off. Why don't we do it? Because we want to keep ourselves pure. Amen. That's why we're careful what we see. Careful what we listen to. Amen. Careful what we say. Careful where we go. Amen. Careful with the things that we hold in our hands, the things that we love, the things that we embrace. Amen. Because we have a passion for purity. And to live pure. Amen. What about you? Do you want to have that passion for purity? Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. I want to be pure. I ask God, Lord, cleanse me. Purify me. Amen. Not just today, Lord, but give me a passion for purity. Lord, you know, there's some people say, oh, man, here goes the preacher again preaching one of those messages about how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to act. Oh, boy. Man, you know what? If you have a passion for it, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting the preacher preach to me. Some people say, I don't want to go to holiness meeting. Well, listen, amen, if you have a passion for it, it shouldn't bother you. If you have a passion for holiness, it shouldn't bother you at all. If somebody gets up and they start preaching, amen, righteous living, holy living, man, it shouldn't bother you. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I have a passion for purity. I have a passion for purity. Amen. Young people, you can do it whether your parents do it or not. That's right. You can do it whether your mom and dad make you do it or not. And they shouldn't have to make you.